Turning in your Bibles, if you want, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and just kind of put something to mark it, because we aren't going to be turning there for a while I get this thing set up for a Facebook Live. You can be turning there, though, and have your place marked there. But I'm going to be printing most of them up on the screen, so if you want to just set your Bibles aside, I'll be reading the supporting verses carefully. Well, welcome to our Facebook Live, people. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We're going to be turning in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 15 after a little while. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. That was American philosopher George Santayana, from his work, Life of Reason, Reason in Common Sense, 1905. Let me repeat it again. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Now, those words were also used in the opening chapter of a book written in 1959 by William Scherer, entitled The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And to kind of popularize that statement. So we're living in a situation today where there are powerful forces at work and in an attempt to fundamentally transform our country and our world, they are trying to rewrite history and to create an alternative reality and a different vision for the future. It's necessary to forget true history. And throughout the Bible, God speaks of the need to remember and the danger of forgetting. So he reminds his people frequently by rehearsing the history of Israel, the true history of God's many powerful deeds. Let me read to you. If you were doing your devotions this week, and by the way, how many of you have been watching the NCAA playoffs at all? You paying any attention to the games? Hey, raise your hand if you are, so I'm not alone. I don't know that all my illustrations will fall short today. All right. Well, the Final Four just happened yesterday, and the commercials, every time it comes to a commercial, I'm watching quite a bit, but we didn't get to see any last year, so I just mute the TV and try to do something productive because it's the same things over and over and over again. And you may feel that way about my commercials. Read your Bible every day, right? Here we go. Read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. That is how God wants to remind you of the things you need to keep in your mind if you're going to live rightly. And so let me just read just a little bit. We were in Psalm 78 in our devotions, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so I kind of used them as we remembered the Last Supper of our Lord with his apostles. I used them when we remembered the cross on Friday. And let me just read to you from Psalm 78, beginning in verse 40. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness, he's reminding them, and grieved him in the desert. And again they tempted God. And they pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the adversary, when he performed his signs in Egypt, his marvels there, and turned their rivers into blood. Now he goes through the 10 plagues and the signs that Moses, that God performed through Moses. He turned their rivers to blood, their streams they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies, which devoured them. The frogs destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the grasshopper and the product of their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hailstone, their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over the cattle to hailstones and their herds to bolts of lightning. He sent upon them his burning anger. He leveled a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death. He gave their life over to the plague, and he smote all the firstborn in Egypt. But he led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them safely so that they did not fear. But, so that's what he did for his people who were chosen by him. They weren't very obedient. But the sea engulfed their enemies. So God continuously reminds us. That is one rehearsal found in Scripture. Now, this week we remembered Thursday night. We remembered Friday. And these truths that we're going to talk about, these facts, are never totally erased from our memory banks. However, we frequently experience what we might call functional forgetting. Functional forgetfulness. As we actually live it out, we act as if we have forgotten. Right? Or some competing concern or thoughts supersede the more foundational truths that we need to build our lives upon and help us to act correctly. And so we experience temporary amnesia with bad consequences all the time. And so my first slide there, the first point in your outline is we need to remember the resurrection, to put it back into our minds, or we will forget. Now, actually, the first, as I got further into this, I needed to talk about the cross a bit more. But that doesn't mean the two go together. So it doesn't mean that we're ignoring one or the other. One, you cannot appreciate and you cannot appropriate either the cross or the resurrection unless you remember them together. Okay? So, what will we forget if we forget the cross and the resurrection? The first thing we'll forget is the seriousness of sin. Number one, the seriousness of sin. Look above at Romans 6:23a. For the wages of sin is death. Now we know that happened in the Garden of Eden. But if you look at your own life, every problem, every trial, every conflict, every negative or bad moment that you have is a consequence of sin. You may not be able to connect the dots directly, but it is a consequence of rebellion against God. That's what sin is. Of better get my glasses on here. Resistance to his authority, defiance of and opposition to his control in our lives, breaking his commandments, and yet we take sin so lightly. Do you ever find yourself, if and when you're reading the Old Testament, coming to places like in Leviticus? So a teenage son who rebels against his parents is to be what? Stoned? So Moses can't enter the promised land because he had a little temper tantrum? He didn't do anything worse than you or I do when we lose our temper. Yet God wouldn't let him enter the promised land. What about the wilderness wanderings? Okay, so he was up on a mountain. I mean, it makes sense that they would forget him and they just have a little revelry. What was the big deal? They had to wander around the wilderness for 40 years till all of them, that generation, died? I mean, doesn't that seem a little bit unreasonable? They're moving the ark back to Jerusalem, and Uzzah, who's instructed to haul the ark on a cart, and it begins to be unstable, and he reaches up and just touches it, and God puts him to death. God had said, don't touch the ark. But it seems unfair. Or in the New Testament, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, for crying out loud, they sold their farm, they gave most of the money to the church, and God put them to death for lying to the Holy Spirit and saying it was the whole sum. So, do you hear what I'm saying? Do you ever find yourself reading scriptures and saying, Lord, that seems a bit much? It's because we forget the seriousness of sin. The wages of sin is death. And in fact, the truth is that if there's any act of God in history that wasn't fair, it was the cross of Christ. And so the next time that you think your sin is no big deal, then ask yourself the question, okay, why the cross? Why the cross? That's the bad news side of it, sort of. That's the gruesome side of it. Why the cross? Because of sin. And not just their sin, my sin. And we tend to give ourselves a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. We give it to ourselves and we give it to us, but we don't give it to them, right? So it's just a reminder. Now, if you were to have been watching any of the basketball recently or any other sport that you like, if a player either gets injured to the point where they can't return or fouls out, what does the coach do? Immediately sends in a sub because they're incapable of doing what they need to do. And so, similarly, if I forget that I am dead in sin, that there's nothing whatsoever that I can do to earn my way to God or to make myself right with God by being good enough or working hard enough, when I realize that I am absolutely incapable of reconciling my relationship with God, when I realize the seriousness of sin and I remember the cross, then I'll remember, number two, the substitution for my sin. Look up above at Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So if I forget the cross, I forget my own personal responsibility. It was Adam and Eve. It was the Jews. It was Pilate. It was them. I forget my absolute inability to earn or work my way into right relationship with God. I forget my need for a Savior. Question, why would God, in light of the seriousness of sin, why would he substitute Jesus at all? Why not just destroy everybody, as he did at the flood, as he threatened to do a few times after that? But why didn't he just do it? And those of you who have been studying the Bible for a while, you know ultimately he doesn't destroy his people, even though they're disobedient and rebellious. He doesn't destroy the ones that he has chosen because of his own what? His glory. So we know that. But from our position of need, if we forget the cross, and some of you need to hear this morning, because when we focus on the gruesomeness of the cross and our own guilt of sin and the seriousness of sin and the need for my substitute, when we do that, that can be kind of a downer. And so some of you need to hear that if we forget the cross, we forget, number three, the sacrificial love of our Savior. Look above at John 15. Greater love, Jesus said, the night before he died with his disciples, he said, greater love has no one than this. That's another way of saying there is no way any human being could show love for someone in a greater way than this. that one would lay down his life for his friends. Now, most of us, you, as I mentioned Friday, the military people here, the people who have been in the service and actually entered into a moment where you have to put your life on the line. I've never been there. Many of us haven't, but some of you I know have. So you know a little better what Jesus is talking about. But Jesus said that, and he's alluding to his own cross. He said that one would lay down his life for his friends. And then our response to that should be, you are my friends if you do what I command you. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, we read the Apostle Paul said, someone might consider dying for a good person, but rarely would a person put their own life in place of somebody else. But, he goes on, God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we're still enemies of God, Christ died for us. So the greatest need that we have as human beings, given the seriousness of sin and our need for a substitute, our biggest need is not food and water and shelter, which threaten our physical bodies. What is our greatest need? Our greatest need is to remove the guilt, the real guilt of our sin. So that's our greatest need. Now, the greatest demonstration of love ever is God sending his son Jesus to be the substitute for us. So our greatest need and God's greatest demonstration of love meet at the cross. And we suffer when we forget this. So if you're here today and you need to hear how much Jesus loves you, because Satan wants to take point one and beat you up. And if you need to be convicted today, that's a good thing. But we'll come back to that in a little while. Maybe you need to hear today and just to be reminded of the cross of Christ as a reminder of God's love for you. All right. We were visiting with a young lady when we were taking our trip south a couple weeks back. Remember, we stayed in Wisconsin with some friends, and we went to the business that they own across the street from their church, and we were visiting with a young lady who's working with them in this project, and I just asked her for a testimony. When did you come to know the Lord? Don't you love to hear people's testimonies? And so she said she was at a soup kitchen. She was at the lowest place of her life, and she was at a soup kitchen, and she just looked through the kitchen doors, and she saw this simple man with an apron on dipping soup out, and just the service. She saw Jesus in that act, and she was born again. She just saw the love of God expressed in that. She didn't have a lot of information. I think she had a lot of seeds because she was a member of a church-going family, So she had a lot of information probably in there, kind of lying dormant. But it wasn't until she saw that God chose one act of love demonstrated like that to bring her to Christ. And I'm so refreshed when I hear testimonies like that. Because sometimes people take offense at that. You might listen and say, that's impossible. She couldn't have been born again because she didn't get the whole track. She didn't get all four steps. She didn't understand the cross. She didn't understand the resurrection. Well, I know from personal experience that when I finally committed my life to Christ, as you've all heard me say it, I was sitting at a welder at Donaldson's, and he was right there knocking at the door of my heart, and the only thing going on inside of me was my friend had peace because he had Jesus, and I wanted peace. And so I looked up, and I moved aside, and I opened the door of my heart, and I said, come in, Jesus. And I was born again at that moment. And I didn't know a whole lot of stuff. Now, that doesn't mean you don't preach the cross. The main message, if we forget the cross, we still forget the main message. Because eventually, I came to begin to understand what happened on the cross and what happened in Jesus' resurrection. I needed to understand that in order to grow in my faith. But initially, sometimes God uses felt needs of people Maybe you can relate to this. Sometimes he uses your need for peace or love or hope or help or a sense of purpose in life. And he uses that. But the core content of the message that we're going to have to eventually come to grips with includes the cross. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the cross must be spoken at some point. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he goes on to say that I came here knowing nothing but Christ and Him crucified. So the cross is an integral part of the gospel that we cannot forget. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And Paul's gospel was the cross and the resurrection. He said, I'm not ashamed of that because it is the power of God for salvation to those who believe. And so the cross, when I received Christ, I wasn't thinking about repentance. I wasn't thinking about sin. I wasn't thinking about the cross. I wasn't thinking about the resurrection. But I think all of that, like I said, from my upbringing, I had heard it. It was there. It was all dormant in me. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, I think, took all of that, and He showed me, just like He showed that lady, that in an act of love, of real incarnational love, it's real, it's true. And that's what the Holy Spirit used to cause us to be born again. But the cross was there. And we can't forget the cross or we forget the main message. So while He may draw us to Himself by offering to meet superficial needs, think of His miracles. That's what was going on. People were coming to Him to eat, to be set free from demons, to see again, to walk. They came with those superficial, if you will, needs. However, the message of the cross gives us understanding into, as we begin to grow in our relationship, into the seriousness of sin, our need for a substitute, the sacrificial love of our Savior. So it's part of the main message. It's essential to maturing, so we dare not forget it. Now, as I mentioned just a little bit ago, when you are reminded of the cross, it should be sobering. It should be humbling. But it should not be humiliating. It should be convicting. And I struggle with this on Good Friday because we're supposed to create such a somber mood. It should be humbling, not humiliating. Convicting, but not what? Condemning. Romans 8:1. Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we can be convicted, but we are never condemned. Last night, how many of you again saw the end of the UCLA-Gonzaga game? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. I did. We did. Amazing game. Maybe the best college basketball game I have ever seen. No team could say, well, we just shot poorly or they shot a higher percent. They just both played so hard and so well and did exactly what they needed to do. There were lead, I think, 19, at least 19 lead changes. There were 10 times that they were tied. They, right toward the end of the game, UCLA was able to just eke out in overtime. So they tied it up, went into overtime. At the end of the overtime, UCLA's down by five. They were the ones I was rooting for. And they're down by five. They hit a three. They get a turnover. They go down in kind of a freaky type of play. They get to score and tie the game again with 3 seconds left. 3 seconds. The ball is inbounded, and a Gonzaga player launches it from just over the half-court line. As the buzzer goes off, so all the lights are around the backboard and everything, and the game's over, the ball's in the air, and it banks in from almost half court. And the game's over. It's in the history books. Monday night, Gonzaga will play against Baylor. That's the way it is. Once it's over, it's over. Similarly, if we forget the cross, we forget our victory. Look at John 19:30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, hanging on the cross, after 6 hours of hanging on the cross, Jesus said, I have accomplished what the Father sent me here to do. This is what I was born for. And it is finished. So the next time Satan tells you it's not finished or that you need to add something to it, don't believe him. Don't forget the cross and what Jesus said there. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit so that you don't have to die for your sins. Jesus' death was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, of all the Old Testament sacrifices. In 1 Peter, Peter said, for Christ died for sins once for all, the just for in place of the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. So don't forget our victory. Now, let's take this coin of salvation here, the cross and the resurrection. Both of these are historical facts. Both of these are unique occurrences, the mighty works of God in history that we dare not forget. But they have effects that are ongoing. Just listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us what? Anybody know the verse? Graciously, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs. Can you say that with me? My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How can he meet all of our needs? He has more than enough to meet all the needs of all the people in all the earth for all of human history. God is infinite in his resources. And in Christ Jesus, he will supply all of your needs. And therefore, we dare not forget the cross or we'll forget our living hope. It's not just remembering something that happened 2,000 years ago that sort of changed history. It's remembering what happened 2,000 years ago that changed me and will be there to supply my every need every day. From in this earthly life and on into eternity, God will meet your needs all the time. 1 Peter 1:3, memorize it. It will roll off your tongue in joy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we're switching a little bit to emphasize the resurrection. Now, if you did turn to 1 Corinthians 15, let's look there now. First Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 20. Well, go back to verse 3 for a moment, because here's the gospel. If you ever want a nutshell version of the gospel, here it is. And you'll see the cross and the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for sins according to the Scriptures. Okay, back up to verse 1 for a second, because you got to understand that's the gospel. Verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I had also received. It's just the ongoing message. It never changes. So our job isn't to change it. Our job isn't to rewrite history. Our job is to remember it so that we can pass it on. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I had also received, that Christ, here's the cross, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and after that He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Most of them are still alive. Go ask them. Although some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, His own brother, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as if to me, as one untimely born, He appeared to me also. So right there we... Oh no, now go over to verse 20. This is why we cannot forget the resurrection. There are... The world is one thing. You hear me say this a lot, so bear with me. It's one thing to hear the world denying Jesus, or to the world to deny the uniqueness of Jesus, or His death, or His resurrection. But when the church starts changing hymns in their hymnals because they talk about sin, or they talk about the cross, which is a bloody thing, and it makes people feel bad about themselves. When the church does that, and the church is doing that, not our church, but probably half of the church in America is doing that. They're forgetting the cross. They're forgetting the resurrection intentionally in order to change the story. So Paul goes on to say, you can't forget the resurrection. Verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. And He's just the first fruits of those who are asleep. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. And then jump down to verse 23. But each in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ's at His coming. So His resurrection, you might want to jot this down if you're a note taker. His resurrection guarantees my resurrection. His resurrection guarantees my resurrection. So you can't forget it, right? Then comes the end. So when Jesus returns, when He delivers up the kingdom to God the Father, when He has abolished all rule and all authority and power, He must reign until, and that's what He's doing right now, He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet, and the last enemy that will be abolished is what? Death. Death will be no more. The pain will be no more. The consequences of sin will be no more. For He has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when He says all things, of course He's excluding God. Verse 28, and when all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself also will be subjected to the One who subjected all things to Him, that God may be all in all. Now jump over to verse 58. So what? We looked at the what, the cross and the resurrection. So what? Well, you better not forget it, or you're going to suffer all kinds of bad consequences. You're going to miss what God has for you. But now the now what? Look at verse 58. Therefore, what should be our response? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. If your toil is not in the Lord, it is in vain. If you serve yourself, it's in vain. There'll be no reward. You'll get your payment now. If you look forward to retirement so that you can just live for yourself, you'll have no reward. It will be in vain. But your work, even in retirement, your work can be for the Lord. And then it will not be in vain, because we await His second coming and His resurrection guarantees it. Okay? One more. We're almost done. The Apostle Paul If you want to see it for yourself, you can turn ahead to Philippians chapter 3. So you're in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, if you want to turn there. Otherwise, I'll read it to you. But the Apostle Paul uses an interesting little phrase. He says, let me give you Ephesians 3:20 first. Paul said, and you'll hear me say it in benedictions a lot, now to him who is able to do how much? You know what I'm going, where I'm going with this? Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. So there's a power. If you receive Christ, he's knocking at the door of your heart. If you open up your heart and you receive Christ, you will receive his Holy Spirit to live within you. Now you have the life of Christ. Remember, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I just trust him and I do it his way. Okay? But he's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. So we've got the living power in us. And so it makes sense to me that if we forget the cross and the resurrection, we forget to pursue his power. Because I believe he can do more than I've even asked for, or I can even imagine at this point. He can do more than that, and he has put his own living spirit within me, so I know that he can do more. I know I can be more like Jesus. I know I can be used in your life and in other people's lives more than I am today. I know that there's more. And I love it that Jesus said that you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so Paul, now look, I've got it up above, I guess, Philippians 3:10. Paul he's considering his own perfect pedigree. He was born into the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was born into the right family, the right race. He was considering his perfect performance. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to the righteousness which comes from the law, found blameless. So his performance was great, his pedigree was great. But he said, but I consider all these things as what? I consider all these things as loss, as scubala, as dung, compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And then he says this, in order that I might know him, personal, intimate relationship, and I might know personally, experientially, I might know the power of his resurrection. That's what I'm getting at. If we forget the resurrection, would we ever want the power of it? Why would we even pursue it? So we can't forget it. There's more to it. He is in me. And that will include, while I'm on this earth, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I might attain to, when he returns, the resurrection from the dead. In about 15 minutes or so, if you've got dinner on in the oven, we're almost done. In about 15 minutes or so, he's going to send us out of here. Everybody's going to go to dinner, to visit loved ones, to travel back home, wherever. He's going to send you. You're going to go. He's already got that planned out. And I want you to join me in bowing your heads for a moment and thinking about, before we break bread, before we sing some more beautiful songs, think about the cross, think about the resurrection of Jesus. Respond to whatever the Holy Spirit's doing in you today to remind you, let him remind you for the purposes that He wants to accomplish in you today. Be reminded. And then let Him prepare us to leave here and go forth in the power of the resurrection to lead people to Christ and to share the gospel. So will you bow with me, please?